It's amazing. It's amazing. Yes. Melissa and Jackie came and did it. I know they didn't want your name mentioned, but I'll mention it anyway. Y'all did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. Amen. Amen. That is so beautiful. And thank you. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit. It's going to be a different kind of sermon today because y'all are going to interact with me. I'm going to let y'all talk. It's something kind of what I do when something happens in EMS or something of that nature, when somebody dies unexpectedly, and it's something to help people actually cope. And see, we've all had heaviness. We've all felt the heaviness of people leaving us lately. We've had a lot of deaths over the years, and we've had a lot of hard deaths because these people that left us were very powerful people in our midst, and they did a lot for us and through us, and I thank God for all the people that were before us, every last one of them. I look out on Sunday sometime and think about for all these people that are gone now where they used to sit, and they're no longer here, and it does hurt from time to time to see this. Well, this one is a little bit different. It's not because Don's any better than any one of the others, not by any means, because they all equally, we hurt because of all of them, but it's one thing to expect somebody's death, and it's another thing to get somebody's death unexpectedly. For somebody just to, you know they're going out of here, you know they're sick, but to see somebody here just a couple weeks ago is doing fine, doing the Facebook, and doing all kinds of things in the church. I was with him just about every day. And I saw him and talked with him. And I noticed at least his lungs were starting to affect him. But still, he was going pretty strong. So, when this thing happens, when people die unexpectedly, there's something. Everybody's got coping mechanisms. And our number one coping mechanism is the Holy Spirit working through us in God's Word. But also when it's unexpected, a lot of times our coping mechanisms are jammed. And because they're jammed, we do things like we're getting ready to do. Now, this is so new for me. I've never done this in a church situation. And this is, we all down new territory, but I can't remember losing somebody like this in church, especially Don, who was one of my dearest friends on all the earth. And So I was working on a regular sermon through the 12 steps, and the Lord kept burdening my heart about doing something for everybody. And I just first started to write a sermon, and then I kept hearing, do some grief debrief. So I might be asking some questions to y'all. They're going to be simple, and you don't have to, my friend, I read you wouldn't talk long. It's going to be simple. And I promise you what it does is it helps us cope in the beginning of this loss grief cycle. Because a lot of us right now, believe it or not, your coping mechanisms are jammed. And you're still trying to wrap your head around it. It's like, wow, y'all don't believe it's even happening. You know, so here it comes. Now, 1 Thessalonians. Get your Bibles out. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to stand for the reading of the Word, and then y'all can sit back down. 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll get it in a minute. Hold on, I'm getting there. There it is. I knew it was in the Bible somewhere. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Got your Bible, say amen. You don't say, oh me. All right, I'm glad you got it. I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died. The word sleep ain't talking about sitting on the couch on Sunday afternoon. It's somebody that is dead. Will not have you be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, or those that are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will sleep with Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the voice of the trump of God, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That word comfort is a very powerful word, because that word comfort means be strong together. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne, God. And I know, God, that you are able, Lord, to meet every need in our life. We thank you, God, for our brother's life and the way he touched all of our lives, God. He was not afraid to dip in the water. He was not afraid to get his hands dirty. He was not afraid to step into whatever was going on to be an assist, Lord, or offer assistance. And now, God, we need you to step in with us and help us grasp the loss of our magnificent brother. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. And we're going to talk about when a servant goes home. Now, Christ is our hope in life and in death. Death never has the final word. We just read it. Death, y'all say it. Death never has the final word. Amen. So here, it's the church family. Today we're gathered in a moment that we never wanted to face. And it's sad to say, if you're in EMS or you're in law enforcement, you're getting this a lot, things you don't want to face, but you've got to. You're in it all the time. And the same way, when you're in the ministry, you're in a lot, you get a chance to work with a lot of people that are transitioning to God. And I can promise you it never, ever, ever gets any easier. It just feels different when the person you know that's dying is a child of God. Amen? There's a comfort that comes with that. So now, we lost our brother, our friend, our deacon, our clerk. Matter of fact, we just say this, we lost our servant friend. Amen? How many has ever eaten any candy that he made? How many's ever eat any chicken pastry that he made? How many's ever eat any collards that he made? I'm telling you what, sometimes I thought he was trying to explode me with the stuff he was bringing for me to eat all the time. Amen? So I think I was his leftover. Amen. His life was woven in the very fabric of this congregation. Everybody knew him. Although he very seldom came up to the front, everybody knew him. He talked to everybody. He would call them on the phone. He would go to their house, and he would take care of business. He always bring food over to somebody. If you're sick, he's bringing you food. And now his passing was sudden, and it was shocking. When I got the call Thursday to go up there, and they told me they're taking him off the ventilator, and he said, "Do not put that thing back on me." And I was in there within an hour. And he had taken his last breath, and he died. Man, was it a shock. I was not expecting it. I had no idea, because I thought he was going to get over this, like he always does, but this time, nope. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I weren't ready to say goodbye. Amen? Just weren't ready. Okay? And I can feel already the weight of his absence. Because the stuff, y'all might not know the stuff he did behind the scenes, but I'm very much aware of all he did behind the scenes. And I can promise you everybody in here was affected by what he did behind the scenes. But now there's an empty seat, and there's a missing voice, and I'm seriously seeing his role later all over the place. Amen? So we're here to remember one thing, though. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. Okay? You know, this is not a funeral. I promise you, this is not a funeral. We're going to talk about him, but it's not a funeral. This is a church community going through a death debrief. It's us connecting with the reality of his death. Sometimes we act when somebody dies, we have the service, and then we go on like life as normal, and we wonder why we have these funny feelings in our head and in our hearts, not realizing that we never really dealt with the loss. And there's been, like I said, there's been a lot of people that died, and I feel the same thing for every person in here that's died. That's not the thing. It's just how sudden it was and how unexpected it was. So we're here to connect with the reality of death and to actually grieve jointly and to move forward together. And also accept the challenge to pick up the baton of his servanthood. Pick it up and move forward with it. Okay? And that's an honor, in his honor, not only that, but God's honor to do it. So now, let's talk about something. Y'all getting ready to say something. Ready? Grief teaches us that love is not the absence of pain, but rather the willingness to embrace all the facets of our human experience. So now, there's a reality of grief. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Now, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He knew it. The God side knew he was going to raise Lazarus, but the man side felt the pain of the last enemy, death, grasping hold of his friend Lazarus and watching a community that was broken by his loss. So, let me tell you something about grief. Grief is not a sign of weak faith. Even Jesus grieved, knowing he was going to raise him from the dead. Grief is the language of love when words fail. Think about it. It's okay. And what we just read, 1 Thessalonians, it's okay. It is okay to give ourselves permission to feel sorrow and to express our deep sorrow. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, he didn't command us to skip grief. What he said was, you can grieve, but you grieve differently because we grieve with hope because we know this is not the end of the story. When I'm gone, you will know that's not the end of my story. Amen. It's just getting started. Don this morning, he'd been hindered for quite a while because of his health. And in that chair, today he's running. Running with his dad and mom who were in bad shape and his wife, all of them who couldn't get around. They're all running right now around the throne of God. So now here's what I'm going to do. I'll start. I'm not sure. I'll let y'all start it. Oh, here we go. We'll do it like popcorn. I'm going to ask about three people, and I'm going to keep on going and get some more people later. Just get started. I want about three people to stand up one at a time, or you can stand up all three at a time, but three people stand up, and I'm getting ready to put it to you. Ready? I know y'all going, oh, no, what's he going to do? I promise you I'm not going to hurt you. Okay, there's Vicky. I knew Vicky would stand up. All right, there you go. There's Pete. Need one more. One more. One more. There you go. Wait, here's what's going to happen. I'll go to you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me one word of how you feel right now about this, just one word. Then I want you to give me one word that you think describes Don. This really does help. Go ahead, Wayne. Right? That's awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. And the one word describes him. Amen. Amen. Y'all can sit back down. Okay. Y'all are more. Everybody's having a good chance to do this. This is just the first three. There's seven keys to life. Number one, put God first. Number two, love one another. Number three, never hate. Number four, give generously. Number five, live simply. Number six, forgive quickly. Number seven, be kind always. Now, I'm not trying to pin any medals on Don, but I've known Don for 20-something years, and that is the way he lived, and that's the way I want to live. Amen? Well, you all should live that way. So look, Let's honor him, even though it's not his funeral. His funeral's going to be next Saturday at 11. It got moved to 11. But here it is. Mark 10, 43 through 45 says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Don was just not a deacon in title. He was a deacon in heart. Amen. He served. But listen to this now. He served without recognition. He ministered to this church. He ministered to the church's members. He visited the sick. He encouraged the weary. He welcomed the newcomer. He was very strong and very part of the fabric of this church. And his family, he loved his family deeply. And his children and grandchildren were his joy. Here's something about Don. His life was a sermon in action. His ministry was not about position. His ministry was about people. I know it seems almost like a funeral, and it's not, because we're just talking about him. Instead of getting a whole bunch of talk, I'm going to talk and let y'all give me some words here. So dealing with sudden loss, I had no idea Thursday morning that I was going to be watching Don take his last breath. Now, I've watched a lot of people take their last breath, a lot. And as a chaplain, I have helped a lot of people I didn't even know take their last breath and was there with them. But I wasn't expecting it. It was sudden. Matter of fact, I talked to him. He had lost consciousness. And I told him, I said, you need to get up here and shake this off and keep on moving forward. Well, he moved forward. He did. Matter of fact, I can hear him say, yeah, I got the last laugh, didn't I, Pastor? Sudden loss leaves us with unanswered questions. Why now? Why this way? I hear those questions all the time. But the answer is we don't have all the answers. But we do have all the promises. Okay? We don't have all the answers, but we've got all God's promises. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We may not ever understand his timing, but we can trust him because he holds time in his hands. Amen? Now I need three more people. Stand up. Three more. All right. There, you want to stand up? All right, there you go. Three more people. There you go. One word of how you feel and one word to describe Don. Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job. All right. I'm still moving on, and I'm getting ready to get some more. God is good even when life is not. You got to believe in him. When death hits, we have hope. John 14, Jesus comforted his disciples. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. This is not a metaphor. It's a promise. Okay? The moment Don closed his eyes here, he opened them in the presence of his Savior. Wow. Wow. That's such an awesome, awesome thought. I always use this at script, for funerals, but I'm going to do it a little bit different today. Because I did some very, very strong Hebrew studies on this. Psalm 116 and 15, precious in the sight of the Lord. Usually it just says it is the death of his saints. But when you check his saints and you really check the etymology of saints, part of it is his faithful servants. Precious in his sight is the death of his faithful servants. Matter of fact, Don is more alive today than he's ever been. Free from pain, free from weakness, and free from the shadow of death. I need three more people to stand up. Two. One more. There you go. Well, that's all right. Four of you can do it. It's fine. All of you. That's fine. How are you feeling about this? One word. And describe him. Amen. All right. Amen. 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 Y'all are doing this. This is so good. I want y'all to listen to all these words because it helps. When you start hearing these words, it helps. Because now you're not grieving by yourself. You're hearing what other people are thinking. And honestly, it helps you. And it also brings to you other things to get out of that block of you trying to grieve. So now, when a servant like Don is called home, and y'all are going to be called home too. We all are. We're all going to be called home, some of us sooner than others. And we're not going to be called out in order that we were born. It's not like that. Yes, you're going to be called out when your number's up. It's up because God's got our days numbered. Okay? So this is not just Don, it's you too. When a servant like God is called home, it always leaves a gap. Amen? Leaves a big gap. Not only in my heart, but leaves a big gap in all kinds of things. We can feel it in our ministries. We can feel it in our fellowships. We can feel it in our hearts. But we got to remember something. His legacy is not gone. It's in the way he taught us. Everybody you know can teach you something. Everybody. It's the way he taught us to serve and to love and to be faithful. You didn't have to ride him to get something done. Not a bit. And he'd come up to my office all the time and say, "Hold on, Pastor." And he'd stand up and he'd start opening up that glove compartment or his boot or whatever you want to call it in that rollator. And next thing I know, I can smell Bojangles. And he'd say, "Here," and he'd throw me that. He knew my favorite thing was the Bow Biscuit, not the Bow Biscuit, the Cheddar Bow. He'd throw me that Cheddar Bow and said, "Now, if that ain't enough, you let me know. I got another one." Or he'd throw me a barbecue sandwich from Smithfield Chicken and Barbecue. Ugh. I said, Don, you're killing me, but go ahead and keep on. You see, I don't ever think I heard him complain about doing something for God. Ever. I'm not just saying that. I never heard him complain, and I always watched him go out of his way to help somebody. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." I promise you, he's run his race, and now it's our turn to follow with that same favor. I need a couple, three more stand up. Three more stand up. Give me some words here. There's one. Two more. Give me it. There's one. There you go. That's three of you. All right, go ahead. Amen. And how you feel? How you feel about his death? Why, give me one word to describe his death to you. Yes. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, there you go. I knew a lot of times he was sick, but nobody else did. Yes, he come to me and said, I need you to practice some of that EMT stuff on me. He tell me that all the time. I need you to practice some EMT. He kept, if I was still certified, he'd have been the one that kept it up, my certification. Look at that picture. Just look at it. Don left us a legacy of love, devotion, and a servant's heart. He His death left a gap. And in the middle of knowing they left a gap, it's time for somebody to step up and fill the gap. Because as sad as it is to think about it, we still have to go on. We're still working for God. When James, the first apostle, was martyred and God spared Peter, we didn't know why God picked one and not the other, and why he spared one and didn't spare the other, but they didn't stop. They kept on going and kept on going. And this is our challenge today. And that's what we got to remember. Is anybody else? Somebody else stand up? Let's see if anybody wants to stand up before I keep on going. Anybody else wants to stand up? Yes. That's good. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. That's it. That's it. Anybody else? He told me a lot lately. A lot. He'd look at me and sometimes with tears in his eyes. He'd go, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. And we talk about it. I'd be talking to him about something. I said, man, you better, listen to the doctor, because this stuff ain't always sounding good. And he goes, God's got this. I said, I know God's got this. But this, and he said, if God takes me, I'm ready. And I don't ever remember anything other than God's got this. It didn't take God by surprise. Listen carefully. God gave Don what he needed. After he lost his parents, which was a biggie, then he lost his wife. And that always plagued him and left a big hole in his heart. And today that hole has been plugged. And I thank for that. Thank God for that. But he's got what we need now. We all got to grieve. We also need to readjust. And I'm asking you, and I'm sure Don would ask you, now's the time to move beyond your comfort zone. Pick it up and move forward. Christ is our hope in life and in death. Don was a great friend. Don, I'm going to miss him a lot because, like I said, I talk to him just about every day. And there was times that he called me and all hours of the day and night something needed to be done, and I'd run all the way up here to help take care of it. But at the same exact time, if I needed him, he would run all the way to Washington to help take care of things. Good man, a good friend, and I promise you, nobody, I know you will, but I'm telling you, I know I'm going to miss him, but also know that I'm going to be up there with him one day, and I thank God for that. Now, I want us all to stand. DC, come and play something. If along the way, if you start feeling kind of funny or you need to talk about his death, just you can come see me or you can talk to somebody. But today you got a chance to hear what you may not have heard if I hadn't have done this. You got a chance to hear everybody collectively talk. And I'm praying for God to remove the block, the hindrance from our grief. Grief hurts, but grief is healthy. And God's got this. I want everybody to bow your heads. First, before I talk any more about that, this I want to ask. Is there anybody here? Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You'd say, Pastor, after seeing how brief and how fast this happened, I realize it could happen to me that fast too, and I'm not ready, and I want to be ready. If you're not ready, or you're not where you should be with God right now, with nobody looking around, would you put that hand up and say, I'm not ready for something like this. I'm not ready to have it taken out that fast. Or maybe you're not as close to God as you want to be. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, touch him, touch him. Now, I'm going to pray right now. We're going to pray together. We're going to ask God to help us to move forward in this grieving cycle and to believe that God's got us, because he wouldn't have taken Don if he didn't have something for us in all of this. Because God never takes away without replacing it with something. He took Don's pain away and gave him everlasting life. And I promise you, it'll take a while, but it'll help us move away or move through the pain. But he took Don away, but he's left his spirit to bring us comfort. And it's in times like this, the spirit's even stronger. So let's pray together. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for our dear brother. And we know that he's with you. We ask you, God, to help us move through the grieving cycle. And know it may take longer for some than others, but God, help us, Lord, to gather together whenever we need to and talk through things like this. Not only that, but Don's death has brought back a lot of deaths that we've had lately. All that pain is brought back. Help us, Lord, with all that pain of all those deaths. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And we thank you, God, for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, Don's visitation is going to be Friday night at Paul Funeral Home. But the service is going to be here Saturday at 11. And those have been asked to be pallbearers. I think all of y'all have been contacted. And so we're going to make all this work. Okay? Then we're going to end today with the Lord's Prayer and then a dismissal prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer after we do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.